Joining me today, been on the program a few times over the years, Joe Holland, county tax assessor, recorder, county clerk, registrar of voters, and all four of them are here today. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Joe Holland.
My pleasure, Mark. Good to be here.
Kind of a day off for you?
Oh, it's Martin Luther King Day, and so it is a holiday for county employees, but I kind of work every day, so I'm glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate that, and I know we scheduled this before the horrible turn of events in Montecito last week, and we had on the docket to discuss, which we will, Prop 13 and what they're calling the split roll and, you know, the potential to have commercial properties maybe be excluded from Prop 13 and transferring title and tax base, I should say, children and how it works with income property as well as your primary residence, and a little recap of all that. But we should start with how the county, well, I mean, you personally, you're a tax assessor. We've had issues where property values have gone down. People can petition to you to say, hey, you know, put my property tax down. And then they eventually come back. But with a disaster like this, what do you do?
Yeah. So from the assessor's point of view, when there's a disaster like this, obviously we're not emergency staff. So during the heart of the emergency, the search and rescue and all that, we don't really get involved. But now that it's beginning to wind down a little bit, we will go out and identify all those properties that were damaged. So for the Thomas Fire, we lost about 60 residences, and or maybe it was in the 50s, but we removed $163 million in assessed value for those properties. And that we removed those as of the date of the event. So their tax bill, they'll get a refund if they've already paid the full tax bill, or we'll adjust their second installment. So that's what we did for the fire. Now, we've had a lot of experience in adjusting assessments for fires over the years. And typically what we do is when the house burns down, we'll remove the assessed value of the improvements, take it down to zero. And then what we'll do is we'll take like 10% of the value of the lot off, because there's always certain things you need to do to bring it back up to completely buildable. But now with this flood and this mudslide, it's a little different. And so I've been working with my top management staff trying to figure out how we're going to handle this. And so obviously if the house is destroyed, we're going to remove all the improvement value. But then we're thinking, all right, what if your lot's gone? It's just a pile of mud and boulders. You no longer have a curb. You no longer have a buildable pad. You no longer have any utilities. You don't have a mailbox. we're probably going to be removing the value of the land also until such
temporarily
until such time as they can regrade it, you know, make the the building pad, put in some utilities, and then we'll begin to add back the assessed value of the land. And then, of course, when they build back their house, then we'll, over time, add the improved value of the house.
Now, is this something that you look at other counties, what they have done and handled this?
Yes, we do, and especially, you know, where the lot's destroyed, this is pretty unusual.
Yes.
Probably just going to have to wing it a little bit on our own. And, you know, being the elected county assessor, I'm going to lean in favor of reducing the burden of these property taxes for these people who've lost their home and their lot and the whole thing. So we will look to other counties. I already contacted Dan Goodwin in Ventura County, because if you remember down around Camarillo, they had a fire a few years ago, and then they had a flood afterwards, and it ruined some of the houses. But it's nothing near the magnitude of what we've experienced here. So actually, one of the things that we're going to do probably this week, if the weather allows for it, is we're going to contract with an aerial photography company, and they're going to fly the whole disaster area and take pictures, and they can get pictures down to 4 inches and resolution. And they take an oblique picture where we can actually see from the side of the house and actually can, from these aerial photos, get a good idea of the damage of it. So that will help us get through this in a more real-time fashion so that we can get those people the property tax relief they need.
Rather than, and then waiting for individuals to, on their own, to take pictures and come to you.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going out there to do it all. Yeah. We've already got that in place. Yeah.
My guest is Joe Holland, a county tax assessor, recorder, county clerk, register of voters. And, of course, we're following up here and discussing what the county is going to do, the county tax assessor, to give immediate relief to people who have lost their homes and essentially lost, even the value of their parcel, as you put it. You know, right. No building pad, and, you need work to get that going. And the people have already paid taxes. It's a refund.
They'll get a refund, and for those that haven't paid their second installment, there'll be an adjustment for that. And so we're already moving on that, like I said. And, you know, while I got a moment here, I'd like to just give a shout-out to county employees. There's some county employees that have been working at the Emergency Operations Center for 43 straight days. As county employees, they're here to serve the county. And to see these individuals step up and really take charge in a manner like that, it's really something else.
Now, the county, there's so many different employees. So who are these? Where do they work?
They're coming from every facet of every department within the county. So we're going from a type one or level one emergency as of yesterday down to a level two today, which means that a lot of the state employees for Cal Fire and all that, they're going to begin to leave because it's no longer that critical of a search and rescue mission. So what we're doing, for example, I'm sending 4 of my appraisal staff to the EOC beginning tomorrow to just help out with all the logistics. There's still so much that needs to be done.
And these county workers, so everyone's pitching in, different departments,
right.
and a friend of mine, his girlfriend lives over near Danielson, and he lives up here, in Hope Ranch, and she lives there with a, I think, 16-year-old daughter, and he wrote me this email that they had to go drive her to her house to get stuff, bring her back. And he was driving in the, shortly after all this happened. And he happens to drive a Hummer, big old Hummer, which already looks like some kind of like emergency vehicle. And he had the flashers on. And he said he drove by a house that we looked at for him to possibly purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And it was gone.
Just completely gone.
On Olive Mill Road, just above Coast Village Road, a couple of blocks. He reminded me, we both hit our head on this little outbuilding, this little, had a well. And he said it was like a war zone, and the cops, they just ignored him. He had his flashers on, driving this big Hummer, driving slowly. And they were so busy that he just managed to find a way to drive there, load up her stuff, and then evacuate her out.
Yeah, so when I get the results of this flyover that's going to be very detailed and high resolution, I'll put that on my website. And so people that really want to see the devastation out there will get an idea of and how to an aerial view of it, and they won't need to go out to the, the damaged area.
So for people who know people or even owners that have evacuated, they could follow up and see what their own property looks like.
Correct.
And what do they do? Just go to the county tax assessor, Google your name, Joe Holland.
Yeah, it could be sbcassessor.com, sbcvote.com, sbcrecorder.com.
Okay.
I'll get you the same place.
Google Joe Holland. You'll find the county tax assessor's website. And then you'll have a count. Then you'll have a number. Right now, you mentioned maybe 50, 60 homes that you, during the Thomas Fire.
Right.
That you basically took off the tax rolls?
Yes, yeah.
And so do we have any idea of what the number is here now?
The emergency personnel have done a count and they for this for the mudslide event, and they're indicating around 60 destroyed homes and then in the hundreds of damaged homes. But I don't really know what that means, and until we really get out there and take a look, my guess is that a lot of those damaged homes are probably
a loss.
Yes, and so we're going to be looking at it from that point of view.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you might have some that maybe had just a little mud intrusion just at the bottom and no foundation impact.
Right.
I'm sure there's a few. There's plenty of those.
Right.
But I agree. Yeah, I imagine that once you get hit hard enough, it's just.
Yeah, and then what we'll do is we'll monitor that throughout the rebuilding process. So, and our initial stages, we're going to lean more on the side of lowering the assessment. We're not going to try and keep an assessment on something that might need to be
marginal.
Yeah, we're going to, and you know, if we err, we're going to err in that direction. And then we will review those once a year. And if it just so happens they were able to restore some of the existing structure, then okay, we'll just take a look at that a year from now.
I'm sure anybody who lives out there is hoping that you won't have to reduce their taxes, that
yes.
their house is
right
habitable and able to, you know, rehab in a not too major way.
Right.
And hopefully there's plenty of people like that, because we know there's plenty of people that have lost everything, lost lives, and it's just... It's pretty remarkable. Well, it's good to hear that, you know, and then I've been hearing a lot about insurance,
yes.
a lot of people that didn't have flood insurance. But did you read about this, that you should negotiate with your insurance company, even if they turn you down, because there's a connection between the nexus between the fire. You could literally claim the fire is the real cause of your damage. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
And Association of Realtors kind of quoted that, and telling people to call their insurance company again and again and pitch that.
Right. And we're not, from our end, we're sensitive to that. So we're not calling this a flood. I don't know that anybody really thinks it's a flood. It's a mudslide event due to the fire. So, in my opinion, it's an extension of the fire. You know, I would hope fire insurance is going to cover this. It's not, most of these homes were not in a flood zone.
No.
I mean, there may be two or three down around Sheffield Lane, but all of them were not in flood zones. And, you know, I don't know how something like this one in 200 years where the creeks would overflow like that. I mean, it's
you know,
just,
I was out of town for 2 weeks, beginning, I think, December 12th, and the ash and the smoke, I had an opportunity to fly to Scottsdale, Arizona, and I never go anywhere. And I took off, and I spent 3 days near Palm Springs with my buddy. So I was gone for 2 weeks, and I didn't know how long I was going to be gone. I thought I might be gone 3 days, you know, so I didn't stop the newspaper. A friend picked it up for me. So I have all these old newspapers, and I'm kind of looking through.
Wow.
And there was a past guest, I can't think of his name. He was on the front page of the news press maybe on December 18th. William Fraham. He's with the flood control. He goes out.
Oh, Tom Fahram?
Tom Fahram.
Right.
Tom Fahram. He was a guest. And he was there pointing out that they have to clear these catch basins because they're filled with debris from the fire. And they actually don't have time to do this. And he actually said, if you can get flood insurance, get it now, because it takes 30 days. But of course, it wouldn't have helped.
No.
And it was all these little, you know, it's interesting to read it now as if I was reading it for the first time back in the day. And he was basically saying, look, we can't guarantee, we can't save your home. You have to really, you know, look into it. But it was just so unanticipated. Nobody could have guessed.
Yeah. And, well, you know, I've been through a few of these fires. I lived in the Painted Cave fire area, and we were worried about flooding after that. But, of course, it happened in June, and we had the whole summer to prepare for it.
Right.
When this fire happened, I was just so amazed that the firefighters were able to keep the destruction to the minimal. I mean, 60 homes isn't necessarily minimal, but it could have been hundreds of homes easily. But then when I heard about the rain event approaching, I told my chief appraiser on Monday before the mudslides, I go, Keith, we could lose 200-300 homes over the next 2 days. Because I was aware of the flooding or mudslide potential due to these fires.
And people talked about it. People talked about it, and you said those words, but I don't know if anyone really believed it.
Yeah, but I've seen
it. Or could fathom it. I mean,
the term disaster fatigue, I think we were all feeling it. You know, just, I had a chance to leave for a week during the ash event, and, you know, and I was glad to be out of town. And I don't think any of us really enjoyed our holidays because of it all.
And right. And so people had vacated because of the fire, and then they were just getting back home, and you just never thought. It's just, okay. My guest, Joe Holland. Let's wrap up this segment and just recap to say that the county assessor will be going out there and analyzing with really good photography and working with homeowners and removing properties that were severely damaged or gone, and even so far as maybe even the parcel itself, if it's not a buildable parcel right now. And they'll be working with them to adjust and refund the tax assessor for whatever little help that is. And again, too, if you have insurance companies and they've turned down your claims, call them again. And there was some case that happened in 2005 where you can argue that the cause of the fire, cause of the damage was from the fire, not from flood, but the mudslide, the result of the fire. So don't give up whether you have renter's insurance or homeowner's insurance. So we'll come back. Joe Holland, we'll take a break. We'll come back and get into some basic tax discussion, which was our original intent when Joe and I scheduled this this interview. And we'll come back and talk a little bit about Prop 13 and the commercial split roll, the loophole, any changes in that, and a little bit up to date on the county tax assessor, registrar of voters, recorder, and county clerk. You really should come back four times because you have four different hats. So, you know, you just come back once a week.
Anytime.
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.